Hey y'all, I'm Hannah Craig, and today I have the honor and privilege of introducing my granny. y'all know her as Deanne, but to me she's just my beautiful best friend, and she's just one of the most important women in my life, and she's teaching me how to become a woman, and so it's just an honor and a privilege, really, to be able to introduce her to y'all today. So pray for you. So God, I thank you for Granny, and I thank you for how she, just the way she loves you, God, and then I thank you for the way she loves women, and just I pray that you would speak straight through her, too, and I pray that everyone would just be able to see you through her.
Baby, you did good. What do I need to do with this? Am I on? Can you hear me? In Proverbs, it says that grandchildren are a crown to the aged. I have 8 crowns. Good morning. Give me a second. I love you, Hannah Claire Craig. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Today we're going to talk about disappointments. Dee Dee Downer here. But you know what? We're going to get it out of the way this morning so we can have some revelation today about how precious we really are. We as women take everything to heart, don't we? We really do. Men are able to get flustered by something, work through it, and plow through. But women, we take everything to heart. When the angel came and told Mary what she was about to do, she pondered it in her heart. We take it in. And as Christians, we believe the myth that life as a Christian should be problem-free. We should be able to just sail through life problem free. But you know what? Life is messy. It's messy. We try to cover up our messes. We run, but we can't hide. Nat King Cole had a song, and I love this song. It's a good song. It's telling you to make the most of it. We have our smiley face up. There you go. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. Smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near. Cute, isn't he? Okay, we can take him down now. A few years ago, some of us went to Karis Canyon to attend a Life is Messy retreat. What we did was the people who taught it brought all kinds of bowls, beautiful bowls, ugly bowls, chipped bowls, all kinds of bowls, and we picked a bowl, and then they proceeded to teach us about the messiness of life. And all through the teachings, whenever we encountered messiness in our thoughts, in our memories, and in our life, we poured a little water in the bowl. And then we had to carry that bowl around all day. A genius amongst us decided to Ziploc his water, his mess. I'd hate to say his name, but his initials are Jody Meek. Where are you, Amy? Where are you, Amy? It was Jody, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that just like us? We try to contain and control the messiness of life. We try to rebuke it, pretend like it's not happening, smile. Today, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to specifically talk about disappointment. here's what we're going to do. Get your cup. Get your water. And when we talk today about the disappointments in life, my disappointments may be a lot like your disappointments. Whenever the Lord brings to you, to your mind, something that's really disappointed you, I want you to pour a little water in, okay? Here are some of my disappointments, and it's just water. If it gets everywhere, it's okay. Let me tell you a story. This isn't in my notes, but I'm pretty picky. Hey. And a long time ago, when we were in our building on Quincy, I was sitting on the front row trying to listen to the sermon, and I noticed all these stains on the floor. And I was sitting there getting more frustrated and more frustrated. These people are pigs. I couldn't even listen to the sermon. And so the next morning, I came with my hotspot and my white rag, because you're supposed to use a white rag. And I got down on my knees in the front, and I started cleaning those stains, and I realized that they were the drips from communion. I laid down on those drops of that represented the blood of our Lord and Savior, and I repented, because life is messy. I used to be the quality control person of the church. If there were light bulbs out, it didn't matter if it was Sunday morning, find a light bulb. If the Kleenexes were out, get some Kleenexes in here. And you know what my husband taught me? And it took a while to sink in. When the ox is in the stall, there's lots of poo-poo. Be thankful for the ox and clean up the poo-poo. That's scripture. Here are some of my disappointments. My health. Anybody relate? Things are going south on me that I can't even believe. I think there's a thing called suspension that I need to go get. Maybe we could get a group rate. I sneeze. I laugh. I cough. That's disappointing to me. I used to, this is the honest to goodness truth, I could outwork 10 of you. Couldn't I, Jenny? Lindsay. I could outwork 10. I have been known to get on the floor on my bottom and with my feet push the upright piano that was 100 years old to rearrange it. It's no wonder I have back issues. I've moved refrigerators by myself. Don't do that. If you're... don't do that. I have a friend who was walking through a busy place, and the elastic of her slip shot. It fell to the ground, and she didn't know what else to do but step out of it and walk on. That's how my skin... There's no elastic in my skin anymore. It just shot one day. I don't know. That disappoints me. Marriage. I'm married to a very strong-willed man. And guess what? I'm very strong-willed. There have been times that I think over our house on 11th Street, especially, that people could probably see the fireworks. I know my kids heard them. That's disappointing to me, that I let my emotions, and I let a lack of submission, I let the disappointments in my life rear up and say, I'm going to defend myself against you no matter what, whenever he was for me. Not against me. Relationship issues. dealing with disappointments with others we love. One time I was talking to my oldest daughter, Jenny, and she told me, "Mom, I don't ever, ever want to disappoint you and Dad." And it hit me like a ton of bricks that we disappoint each other. She's disappointed me. I've disappointed her. I've disappointed some of you. Some of you have disappointed me. We have this treasure, Jesus, in clay pots that crack, that chip, that leak. My own humanity. I'm going to need 3 or 4 cups. You know, I know that I'm forgiven. I really do. And I don't know if this is biblical. Y'all just toss it if it isn't. But I think that we can know that we're forgiven, but we still carry around disappointment from the choices we made. I made choices before I knew Christ and after I knew Christ. But when I was in high school, I was promiscuous. I'm so disappointed in that. I've lived with the disappointment of that. I did things that I shouldn't have done that I'm not proud of, and I'm disappointed in that. I want to be free from that disappointment, and I am free. Once again, we have this treasure in cracked clay, leaking, chipped pots. Miscarriages. I have grandbabies. I have other crowns in heaven. I have a crown in heaven. How many of you have buried children? Pour that in your cup. My mother, from my whole life of knowing her, was mentally ill. And she refused treatment. I'm so disappointed that she lived her life in mental illness and that she died alone as a recluse. That's a disappointment that I carry around. 29 years ago, I'm going to sit down for this one. Paul and I and 4 other couples planted Harvest in my living room. We didn't really know that we were planting anything. I think we probably did. And you know, you've heard the numbers. There were 6, 8, 12. Well, I can tell you exactly how many people there were. I can close my eyes and look around my living room, and I see Paula Gelman and her husband, Ron. I see Brenda Huckabee. Am I doing all this? Brenda Huckabee and her husband, Brad. I see Denise Kellum and her husband, David, and she was in charge of having all the babies. Church growth. And I see Kathy and Charles Tanner. Kathy and I lived 3 doors down from each other for many years, and she was a constant in my life. She passed away almost 3 years ago from pancreatic cancer. She's the only one of those people in my living room that's not with us. And I know she's in a better place, and I watched her suffer. And I'm glad she's free from suffering, but I'm disappointed I don't get to see her brown auburn hair turn gray. I'm disappointed that I don't get to hear that contagious laugh of hers as an 80-year-old. I'm disappointed that I don't get to hang on to Kathy Tanner. How many of you mourn and are disappointed by the death that you've experienced? Here's some more. If you relate, poor. Infidelity. The struggles of our children, the choices that they've made. being misunderstood. Are you already running out? Need another cup? Being single, feeling alone, job situations, money issues, infertility. You know, some of these things are disappointments that we experience once or twice. Women who deal with infertility experience disappointment month after month after month after month after month. The health issues of people that you love that are going through horrendous health issues and you feel helpless. Take a moment to think about, I know this is sad, but think about the disappointments in your life. Just take a moment. Some that we don't, maybe no one else knows about but you. You know what? Disappointments are a part of life. To experience disappointment isn't a sin. It's not. There may, it's just life. It's just life. This is where we get hung up. This is where we get into trouble. This is where we don't know how to deal with disappointment. It, you know, for most of my life, I thought if I were disappointed or disappointed someone, that it was the cardinal sin. That you could never tell someone, you disappointed me. It would be like, it would be horrifying. It's not. Disappointments are a part of life. You know what the real deal is how we deal with them. How we deal with disappointments that can turn deadly. Here's what happens to us when we're disappointed and we don't know it's okay that we can work through it. We become cynical. We become anxious. We become angry. We become correcting. We become addicted. We become controlling. We become hard. We become withdrawn. We disappear. Our cup overflows with disappointment. Our lives overflow with sin. It gets all over us. It gets all over everyone else. While we are, Mary, put the smile up. While we are smiling, it gets on us. It gets on you. It gets on everything. It's just water. Doesn't it? You want a solution? Let it go. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, troubles, disappointments, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong, be courageous, do not fear or be in dread, for it is I, your Lord God, who goes with you. I will not leave you. I will never forsake you. Psalm 56:8. This cup says Papa. If anybody's been to the movie. Psalm 56:8 says, you have kept count. Why is this banging? Is it my earring? You have kept count of my tossings. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Hebrews 13:5 says, for Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. In every disappointment, he has been with you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety, disappointment on him because he cares for you. Okay, we all just participated in something. We were hearers of the word. You all just listened, heard the word. But James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. How many of you like to be deceived? It's horrible. Being deceived is horrible. Think about the fact that you deceive yourself when you don't do what you've heard. I think that we are so super aware of works righteousness that we reject doing. It's not about works righteousness. It's about becoming obedient, an applied learner. Take action. Be a doer of the word. Action number one, be okay with the fact that life is messy, that it has disappointments. Jesus himself said that we would have troubles, disappointments. It's just life, isn't it? It's about how we handle it. Action number two, tell God about it. He's not insecure with our troubles. He's not insecure with our emotions. He's not insecure with us telling him about it. There was a time in my life that I let the disappointments turn into full-blown anger. I was just walking around every single day for a season in my life as a pastor's wife, seething with anger. A wise woman told me, you know what? 24 hours of anger doesn't work. So she suggested, and I did it, and it worked. She suggested that once Paul left the house in the morning, or I could get alone, to go in the bathroom, set my phone timer for 10 or 15 minutes and throw a big fat fit. Scream, cuss, yell. Tell God how angry you are, how disappointed you are. And then when the timer goes off, say, okay, sweet woman, we got a life to live, to enjoy. I'll meet you in the morning if I need to. But we're going to live life today. 24 hours of anger does not work. 10, 15 minutes with God understanding and holding you while you're kicking and screaming works. I don't have to do that anymore. But if I do get in that place, I set my little timer and I have my little fit, and God, like a daddy, holds me. Action number three. Believe the word. Remember, he has kept your tears in his bottle. He's never left you or forsaken you. You know what? All my life, I've been a rocker. Not Led Zeppelin or all that. I just love to rock. It's comforting to me. I've rocked my whole life. One of the biggest disappointments in my life is that my daddy, who I look like and I act like, we have the same personality, and my mother got a divorce when I was little, and my mother was not right in the head, and my dad was a runarounder, and so they had a horrific, horrible divorce. And I was taught by my mother and my grandmother to hate my dad. But let me tell you something, mamas that are raising kids without their daddy. If you teach your child to hate their daddy, they hate themselves. So I lived my life without my daddy. And that was such a disappointment to me. I remember the first time I remember that I was fatherless. I was sitting in my little red rocking chair in the 1950s. The TVs were bulbous and they were like mirrors. I was sitting in that little rocking chair, and I could see the Camelback couch. I was two and a half years old. I could see the Camelback couch in the reflection of the TV, and I could see my parents fighting. And I heard my daddy say more than once, "I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm gone." I was sitting there rocking in that rocking chair, feeling so abandoned and so helpless and hopeless. And as I was thinking about that a few years ago, you know what the Lord showed me? He said, "I was there with you, disappointment. I was rocking you in that rocking chair, and I've been rocking you your whole life. So every time that I'm overwhelmed and I go get in the rocking chair and rock, every time I look back in high school when I was hurt and lost, I would go rock. And now I look back and I see that God, my papa, has been rocking me my whole life." I just want to ask you to look back at the disappointments in your life and find God, find Jesus, find the Holy Spirit there with you, because he was there. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He was there. That's comfy, by the way. Action number 4, repent. Turn around. Go the other direction from the sin that disappointment has produced in your life. Action number 5, be grateful, thankful. Read the book 1,000 Gifts. That book changed my life. I now go on, it's like Easter egg hunts. I look every day for the gifts that God's given to us, to me, specifically me. They're everywhere. Keep a gratitude journal. Look for God's gifts. Say thank you for every little thing. Start right now with saying thank you for this breath. I love breathing. I thank God every day for breath. Every night, this is how I go to sleep because I read it on Pinterest. I do this breathing technique, and I'm telling y'all, it works. It's called 4-7-8. You breathe in 4 seconds. You hold it 7 seconds. You breathe out 8 seconds. Breath is such a gift. So let's take a deep, thankful breath right now. And recognize as you breathe in, you're breathing in God and peace and joy. And when you breathe out, recognize that you're breathing out stress and discouragement and disappointment. Okay, ready? Take a hike. Discouragement, stress, disappointment. I like that, Julie. Take walks, pray, live in the moment that God's given you. Action number 6, practice kindness. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath." And verse 4, "A gentle tongue is the tree of life." Kindness is extremely important to me in this time of my life. I have been unkind in my past. When my girls were teenagers, Lindsay decided to anoint me with the nickname Pickens. Where are you? Lindsay, there you are. Pickens. I thought, oh, that's cute, catchy. That's cute. I like it. Well, they both proceeded to call me Pickens for several years. And when they got grown, I guess they couldn't handle the guilt of it anymore. They confessed that it was because I was so dang picky. I still like Pickens, though. I am so committed that the rest of my life be filled with kindness. In fact, I want on my tombstone for it to say she was kind, and it be the truth. And that she made a pretty good peanut butter sheet cake. Did you know that kindness and thankfulness deters discouragement and disappointment? Action number 7, let it go. At the end of this retreat where we were getting to experience the messiness of life, they told the story about how they went on a retreat in Spain. It's plenty cold in here now, Juanine. I told her to make it colder, and she did. They told us that they went to a retreat in a convent in Spain in the desert. And so as they were pulling up to this convent, they noticed there were oases of flowers and trees and beauty all around this convent, and it was in the middle of a desert. Well, they found out that these nuns practiced pouring out their disappointments and the messiness of life. At the end of every day, they would take their bowl of the messiness of their life, the disappointments, and they would go pour it in the places where they had planted life. Beauty for pain. Beauty from ashes. Isaiah 61:3 says that to those who mourn, who are disappointed, a crown instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We're going to let it go. We're going to pour it out. We're going to take the next few minutes to find a place outside to truly let it go, to pour out your cup of disappointment on a tree or on the ground, because soon we're going to plant an oasis of beauty out there in West Texas. There's going to be beauty everywhere outside, so plant it and remember where you poured it out and see the beauty that came from your letting it go. Then come back ready to fill your cup with life and joy. And don't be surprised when you encounter disappointment in this life. Take it to God, pour it out before it becomes sin, and let God fill your cup with all kinds of fruit. Fruit punch. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the air we breathe. We thank you, God, that you are our good God. We thank you, Jesus, for the complete work of the cross. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the comfort and beauty you bring into our lives. God, we just take this time seriously and pour out the things that have so disappointed us, the things that we've allowed turn into sin, God. I pray for grace for each woman as she deals with herself and with you during this time of just letting it go, God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.